Welcome to SCOTUS Cast. On May 27th, 2008, in Gomez Perez v. Potter, the court held that Section 633AA of the Age Discrimination Employment Act, ADEA, prohibits retaliation against federal employee who complains about age discrimination. In this episode of SCOTUS Cast, Alan Smith, an associate at Grijon, Tavis, Pandak, and Stoner, discusses the case. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Smith.
In a 6-3 decision written by Justice Alito, the Supreme Court reversed the First Circuit, holding that the ADEA's broad prohibition against any discrimination based on age in federal employment includes retaliation. The majority followed the court's previous decisions in Sullivan v. Little Hunting Park and Jackson v. Birmingham Board of Education, noting that all three cases involve remedial provisions aimed at prohibiting discrimination. The majority determined that the ADEA language in this case is similar to the Title IX language in Jackson and the Section 1982 language in Sullivan. In Jackson and Sullivan, the court determined that the anti-discrimination statutes provided for retaliation, although it was not expressly stated in the statutes. The majority noted that the government did not ask the court to overrule Sullivan or Jackson, nor did it question their reasoning. In fact, the government asked the court to follow Sullivan in Jackson and again in Seabox v. Humphreys, which was decided the same day as Gomez-Perez. This inconsistency was not lost on Justice Alito, who, during oral argument, questioned the government's position that a general ban on discrimination includes a ban on retaliation, except when the government is being sued. The court held that the First Circuit erred in distinguishing Jackson and Gomez-Perez in several ways. First, the First Circuit was wrong to distinguish Gomez from Jackson because Title IX's private right of action is implied. The First Circuit improperly conflated whether a statute grants a private right of action with whether the statute substantively prohibits certain conduct. Confusing these questions would lead to the exceedingly strange and perverse result that expressly providing a private right of action could be used to narrow the scope of the underlying prohibition. Second, the First Circuit erred in distinguishing Jackson because retaliation is more important under Title IX than under the ADEA. The First Circuit was wrong to make this distinction because both Jackson and Gomez-Perez are based on the statute's text, not policy considerations. Third, the First Circuit incorrectly held that Title IX was a response to Sullivan, but the ADEA federal sector provision was not. The ADEA was amended in 1974, 5 years after Sullivan, and only 2 years after Title IX was enacted. Like Jackson, it is appropriate and realistic to presume that Congress expected the court to interpret the ADEA federal provision as it did similar language in Sullivan. The majority also was not persuaded by the presence of the private sector anti-retaliation provision and the absence of a similar federal provision. Because private sector anti-retaliation was enacted 7 years before the public sector provision was added, the negative implication here is not the strongest. The prohibitory language in the two provisions also differs sharply. The private sector provision specifically lists prohibited employment practices, including retaliation, while the federal sector provision instead broadly prohibits discrimination. Again, Congress was presumably familiar with Sullivan and expected the court to interpret this broad prohibition like it did in Sullivan. These differences yield a negative implication, which is not a sufficient reason to depart from the reasoning of Sullivan and Jackson. Finally, the majority dismissed the argument that the federal civil service system provides the exclusive means of addressing retaliation because there is no direct evidence of this, only unsupported speculation. The majority also questioned why the Civil Service Commission would assume that Congress expected it to prohibit and remedy retaliation in federal employment when Congress itself did not explicitly do so in the ADEA. Chief Justice Roberts began his dissent by noting that broad anti-discrimination provisions may prohibit retaliation, but not every express ban on discrimination must be read as a ban on retaliation as well, because anti-discrimination and anti-retaliation are distinct concepts with different purposes. The overall context here indicates that the ADEA does not include a retaliation claim for federal employees. Congress was not sloppy. It consciously and deliberately chose to include retaliation in the private sector provision, but not in the federal sector provision. The negative implication raised by the private sector anti-retaliation provision may not be at its strongest, but is certainly strong enough. Congress chose to include retaliation because it intended for the civil service system to address it. Congress is quite familiar with the service's detailed administrative system and recognize that regulating civil service is complex, complicated, and requires the careful balancing of conflicting policy issues and priorities. When Congress extended the ADEA to federal employees, it expected the civil service system's comprehensive regulatory scheme to administratively address retaliation as it had done with Title VII. Although the Civil Service Reform Act was enacted after the federal sector provision, it prohibits retaliation and includes a host of administrative remedies. Justice Thomas, joined by Justice Scalia, added a brief dissent criticizing Jackson and reiterating that the federal sector provision does not cover retaliation. The justices adhered to their position in Jackson and chose not to join the portion of the Chief Justice's dissent, recognizing that some broad bans on discrimination may include retaliation. The dramatic rightward shift that some have expected from this court did not materialize in Gomez-Perez, which is consistent with Jackson. Justice O'Connor wrote the majority opinion in Jackson, which some believed might be overturned, with the help of Justice Alito, after she left the court. Instead, Justice Alito authors the majority opinion that upholds, strengthens, and extends Jackson. Rather than restricting employee rights as many predicted, Gomez-Perez has expanded them. The decision has received praise in the New York Times for its new tone and direction, but it was also criticized in a Washington Post House editorial entitled Flawed Victory. The editorial noted that while the Supreme Court pleased workers with Gomez-Perez is a, quote, deeply flawed decision. The editorial concluded by stating that protecting employees from retaliation makes sense, but it is not the province of judges to create such protections on the basis of their own belief of what is right or wrong, or even on the basis of their intuitive sense of what Congress meant to do or should have done. That's it for this time. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.